Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Very pleased to have with us today the chair of the York County Council, Ms. Christy Cox. And how are you, Christy?
Hi, Manning. I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, I'm glad you're here and you survived the budget battle, did you not?
We did, and we came out of it with glowing reviews. The county, one of the most exciting things I think that our county does and most important things is to pass a solid budget. And I'm very proud of our county management and our county council for how we handle the finances. We have a balanced budget, stable reserves, AAA tax rating. The value of a mill is rising. We were able to add in positions and build in a merit-based raise and do all that without increasing taxes. That is the way that you do things, and I'm very proud of that we were able to do that.
And you're still on target, are you not, to retire your, what'd you call it, long-term capital debt by 2024?
All of our GO debt will be paid off by 2024.
There's this guy by the name of Kevin Madden. Have you met him recently?
Just every now and then does he come to council. And actually, he does an excellent job in directing us and helping us keep our finances straight.
So it does benefit the county to be growing in terms of additional revenues, but it also puts a lot of pressure on you to provide additional services, correct? I mean, that's a routine, I guess, balancing act that you have to deal with.
That's correct, and we have a lot of folks that make a lot of requests, and I give kudos to county management for helping us identify what the most critical ones are so that we stay within our budget constraints and don't put a burden on the taxpayers.
Okay, so the budget is done. It's finished. That's all there is to it. We just move on.
Budget is passed.
All right. Now, one of the things that I know that the county is very proud of is everything involving economic development. And we've had an incredible run. It only got slowed down by COVID. But other than COVID, we've had a real good run in terms of attracting new industries here.
We are, you know, COVID has not slowed us down at all. And we are primed in the county to have a stellar year. Our unemployment rate is 4.5%, which is well below the national level and below the Charlotte-Mecklenburg and state levels. Since June of 2020, the county has announced over 1,382 jobs, $141 million worth of investment. Just some of the announcements that we have are the microfactory with a $46 million investment, 240 jobs, 3D systems expansion, $13 million investment, 50 jobs, Dirt Environmental, $18.5 million, 100 jobs, Masonite, $22 million investment, 220 jobs. Southwood International Corporation, $6.4 million, 73 jobs. And as we all know, Cincy, $6 million investment that created over 200 jobs and possibly 400 by the time it's built out. I mean, we really have a lot to be thankful for. We are in a prime location, and we're doing well.
Well, we're doing well, but I'm sure every one of those businesses that you've mentioned and everybody else up and down Cherry Road and across York County is still trying to figure out how we're going to get people back to work. We have got to get them out of this pandemic mode and become productive again and not sit at home and worry about getting sick.
Absolutely, and I think one of the ways is simply by those government funds slowing down and everybody getting back to work and us doing our part. And I think our county in particular has been doing extremely well with only a 4.5% unemployment rate. I think we're seeing folks finding opportunities and getting into the employment.
Well, we are in a very enviable position being right next to a major metropolitan area. And, the city council and the county council have done a great job in making sure that we don't get lost in the shuffle. We don't become a Matthews or a Pineville. We are in South Carolina, and we've done a lot to build the employment base down here. And I think if more people would understand the value of the economic development, is maybe we would reach a point where we'll have less traffic on the road if we could keep more people working here at home.
Jobs, and keeping them local is important. And how do we attract that, and how do we do that? I think there's a variety of ways that we do that. That's and most importantly, it's not to be a suburb of Charlotte. It's to have our own identity, to be a place where you want to live and work.
Now, speaking of roads, boy, oh boy, if there ever has been an initiative that the county can be very proud of, it's Pennies for Progress. We're now into the fourth iteration. They say that by the time this Pennies for Progress number four is done, this is an amazing number, that one penny plus matching dollars from other sources will have produced over $1 billion worth of road work in York County. That's amazing.
It's amazing, and it's necessary, and it's one of the many things where the county has stepped forward and been a pilot program for other communities in the state to follow. When it comes to pennies, I'm particularly excited about the fact that our revenue is ahead of projections, even with COVID. All of the projects that the public voted on in 2017 are moving forward and expected to be completed. Projects beginning in 2022 include Riverview Road, Highway 72, US 21, Highway 51. We're excited about that, but to me, one of the most exciting things was in this Pennies 4, we included resurfacing of 80 miles worth of roadway. That is scheduled to be completed this year. 80 miles, $5 million under budget, and we completed it all in 4 years. And I have to give kudos to Patrick Hamilton and our management at the county, who helped us devise a program where we leveraged our revenues, our existing revenues, borrowed the funds out front so that we could jump on those projects, and were able to get them completed in 4 years. That really is a phenomenal thing to have been done. It saved the taxpayers money, and we got the jobs done quicker.
And one of the best examples of that is the completion of the paving of Cherry Road all the way down to the interstate. So now you have one smooth four-lane corridor all the way.
Everybody loves a smooth road.
You know, Patrick Hamilton was just on Straight Talk, I think it was last week, and one of the things that he mentioned was exactly what you just highlighted, was to jumpstart the latest Pennies for Progress program. Since the revenues would be lagging behind coming in, he went to the county council and said, look, how about upfronting us whatever the number was, 15, 20,
60 million. 60,
right. Put that up there. We'll pay it back to you. And now all that money has been paid back, but it allowed him to jumpstart the process. So they're almost a year ahead in where they would have been had you not done that.
Absolutely, and that's the importance of having reserves, to be able to have the flexibility to do that, and that those funds were actually paid back within just a couple of years. So, I mean, it really is a smart way to do things, and it's if there's one thing that you get a call for when you serve in these council positions, it's roads. And if there's a way that we can deal with resurfacing, even if it's state roads, which is the majority of the roads in our county, this is what people want. They want to see that you have a list of projects and that you actually complete them on time and within or under budget.
Well, in fact, if you go back and take a look at the various referendums, the very first one in 96 was approved by like 200 votes. The last one that got approved was about like 90%. So people can see that this thing is doing what it said it was supposed to be done. And there hasn't been any, what would you call it, any and a misuse of funds or any of that kind. It's gone right to where it was supposed to go. It's worked.
Absolutely. And when you are accountable to the taxpayers in a way that where they know exactly what roads are going to be done and it doesn't go into some other fund and get spent on something else, that is, I think, the most important thing that gives this program success.
So are you thinking already about Pennies for Progress 5?
Well, that's coming up. It'll be in 2024, I believe, is when the next one that will come up. So, I mean, we obviously need to be planning ahead for that. I hope that the resurfacing is more than the $50 million that was in the last one. We really can get projects done, and those projects mean a lot to people that live here.
It's going to be interesting because there will be some changes. You know, Jerry Helms, who set up the committee to figure out which roads need to be done, he's retired now from Carowinds. Might be able to get him back anyway. And Chet Miller, who headed up the other side of the group, which went out to raise the money and put up the signs and all that, he's moved out, gone to Florida someplace. So you got to find some new people.
We will. And I think the program itself now speaks for itself. So hopefully folks will realize the value. And if you just look at the facts, you're going to see how this benefits our community.
All right. Speaking of things that the county is always trying to figure out, water and sewer for Western York County. That's something I know that you all talked about in your planning meeting earlier this year. You got blue granite out there, which I think you'd love to be able to buy and control so they wouldn't have any more of the issues that you got. I think Joel Hamilton mentioned that you've already lost several potential projects, employment projects, because we didn't have the water and sewer out in the western New York County. You think you're at a point where you're going to get serious about it?
I definitely think we're serious about it. I think the council is interested in making sure that we do our part to protect the resources that we have now and to expand upon them so that we have quality growth in the future.
All right, so you have done a presentation a number of times about state of the county. You talked about the budget. We've talked about pennies for progress. We've talked a little bit about the economic development and the western New York County. What other things do you want to make sure that citizens know about as far as how we're progressing here in New York County?
Some things that are coming up that I think that folks need to be aware of, and there are things that take a lot of time and the council spends a lot of time vetting, are the zoning code rewrite that's not been done in 20 years. We are in the thick of that. It's a very difficult process, but it's something that definitely needs to be done to bring us up with the times. We have our five-year comprehensive plan review that has come up this year. We're also in the thick of that as well, and I expect that we will complete that by the end of the year, but there will be opportunities for public input when it comes to that. We are having an economic development workshop in July where we're going to talk about what our strategic plan will look like going forward. We hired a consultant, and at that point, the council will now start discussing what are some of the things that we can do to enhance that in our county. I hope that one of the things that we do as a small business initiative, these incentive packages are an important component to be competitive in the area, but we also need to make sure that the backbone of our business community are the small businesses. And so I think we will take a deep dive into that and see how we can do that.
How small would you define small?
I think that's the question that we need to have some discussion about, is how do we define that. But I think any employers that are less than 50 that don't qualify for some of the federal incentives,
right.
I think that would be the mark where I think we would look at.
Well, you're right. I mean, this has been a discussion that's been going on for not only this council but prior councils on and off. What can we do for the smaller businesses? And the county is in a position financially where it can look at different types of incentives that it's willing to pay for to produce jobs, bottom line. What else is on the list for things to come up?
We are also going to be looking at, in our most recent budget, we passed capital plan for our park system, so we have to implement those things, which include park planning and enhancements for our existing parks. We have 7 existing parks in the county. Developing an organizational structure so that we have a unified park system, and then following through with the initiatives that we've budgeted for.
Well, let's talk a little bit about parks, because I know that's something near and dear to your heart. This council, really, I still say it was one of the greatest business deals in the world. You were able to buy that 2,000 acres down there, formerly Bowater property that was owned by Newland, Carolina. It was just great. You used a third party to go in there and say, hey, I'd be interested in buying this piece of property. And they sold it to them. And if it had they known it was New York County, I think the price tag would have been much higher. All right, so we got the land. You've got probably one of the best known consultants in the country to guide you into how best to use this piece of property, Chuck Flink. He's come back after whatever it's been, a half a dozen different meetings, and he's actually said, okay, here's a suggested master plan. Now, that has not been sent out yet to the public because it's got to do some more tweaking, correct?
Correct.
All right. But it's very clear that to take this 2,000 acres of raw land and make it into something that is going to be a great park is going to require a fair amount of money. As a matter of fact, the very first phase, which everybody wants to see, is a nice walking trail around 4.5 to 5 miles of river, right?
That's correct.
And I think the price tag on that just alone was several million dollars.
It is, and I think, you know, one of the things that I do want to keep in mind is that parks, and Riverbend is just one of those, that they're critically important to what we just said before about economic growth, is to make sure that we have a place that people want to live and grow. And these types of things are the things that actually attract the higher paying, better quality jobs in our community. It also helps us manage growth, and it improves our quality of life. So with those key components in mind, that is why the council determined that it was critically important for us to focus on that area. When it comes to Riverbend in particular, that is such a large piece of property that we did need to have some experts come and help direct us. We've had a committee, as you well know, you serve on that committee along with five other folks from the public. And I do want to, I always like mentioning their names because they have committed a lot of volunteer time for that. Jan Angel, Jack Leitner, Ryan Sanderson, Dave Oxendine, Craig Craze, and yourself to come to the meetings and to put some effort into that. When it comes to Riverbend, I think that Chuck has some really great ideas. And when you said it comes to funding, yes, funding is important. And one of the most important things that we can do, and what he also brings to the table, is the ability for us to attract outside funding.
Right. Exactly.
We've already made a significant investment in the land, and all the improvements will cost funds as well. But, I mean, our key is to get this open to the public and get the public enjoying it.
Yeah, and to get it open sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
But another big challenge, and we can sit here and talk about this park all day long, is just getting to it because it is in a very rural area of York County, and the road system is marginal at best.
We do need to have some effort put into that, and that's one of the things that I think that they're exploring is expansion of the existing roads that get to the park, and understanding that this is going to be a passive recreation park. It's not going to be a big, tons of folks coming like a Carowinds or anything like that. It's a passive recreation. Keeping that in mind and making sure that when we do those road improvements, some of which are already being done, Neely Store Road actually was just recently repaved. We just need to continue it on. We do need to plan for that, and that's important.
And it's so people can keep this in context, if you take a look at the Ann Springs Closed Greenway, hard to believe that's 25 years old. But it's taken 25 years to get it to where it is today. Riverbend isn't going to happen overnight. It's a generational project. But you got to start somewhere, and it's going to be piece after piece after piece after piece. And with the growth that your county is having, I mean, the people at Ann Springs Closed Greenway will tell you they love the Riverbend concept because they need some help handling the numbers of people who want access to their park.
Everybody, if COVID taught us one thing, it's that this is a critical component to the lives of our community, and you simply can't have enough, to be honest. Ann Springs is certainly visionary when it came out, and now we're hoping to create that as well and to add to it and to make sure that we provide an amenity for the county residents.
All right, so you've just recently opened Ebenezer, the remodeled Ebenezer. Looks very nice, but my God, the amount of people who want to get access out there is incredible. I mean, it's just overwhelming.
And it has some challenges connected to that. I mean, there obviously is a huge demand. Some of it is newness, and so we're still learning with that. We've got a group that's looking at the road infrastructure there, which is a lot different than what we're looking at out at Riverbend, but it certainly helps us keep in mind that we need to plan for that, and we are continuing to move through and find a better way to handle the traffic and some of the things. But it's a phenomenal park. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, it shows you how high demand they are.
Love the boardwalk out there. I call it a boardwalk. It's,
right.
It's really
the
neat.
Semicircular pier
really
is
neat.
Great.
Now, Allison Creek, one of the things that you all talked about during your planning session was, Duke Energy is going to be doing work out there as part of their licensing agreement with the federal people. Now, they've asked the county, do you all want to kind of jump in on this? Put what I think they were talking about $4 million they were going to put in. Would you like to put in maybe $3 million and develop this park? And then they were basically going to hand it over to the county and let you operate it kind of like you do Ebenezer.
Yeah, I think the actual price tag is $15 million, and I believe that Duke is putting in $10 million, and the county has agreed to put in $5 million to upgrade the water systems for the vehicles that go and park out there and do their camping. So it is going to be an extremely exciting project for that community there, and the enhancements are important.
So the county has agreed to do that?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. All right, good. We're way over. I got to take a break here. We get started. I don't want to be quiet. Let me remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Of course, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Right here, I'm sorry, 6 days a week now here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The way it's done, pretty simple. At the count of three, we're going to tell you how it's done. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 4106.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Christy Cox is with us. She chairs the York County Council, and we got interrupted talking about parks. You know what's so interesting to me is years ago, York County had a recreation department. There was a young man by the name of Thurman Bonner who was the head of the recreation department. And they asked for, the council said, well, you know, we need to do this and do that, so let's put on a referendum for like a 1 mil increase or a half a mil increase to get these things done. Well, it was turned down big time by the county, by the voters in York County. And so that was the end of the recreation department and the end of Thurman Bonner. He went on wherever. Here we are all these years later, and we've grown up, and with all the new people coming in here, people want, as you pointed out, if we're going to be successful in economic development, we need to have quality of life, and things like Riverbend and Allison Creek and Ebenezer and the list goes on and on is something that you all are having to pay more and more attention to, and even to the point where several months ago you were talking about, are we at a point where we need a parks department just to keep everything going the way we want to go?
Well, I think what's interesting is that the county actually has seven parks. We've talked about three of them. We've talked about Ebenezer, Allison Creek, and Riverbend, but we actually have four other ones. We have Field Day Park, we have Nanny's Mountain, Worth Mountain, and the York Veterans Memorial. So when council met at our strategic planning session, we realized, look, we have these parks. We need to be running them more efficiently. They need to be open to the public, and we need to start developing a plan for them, and we need to do it in a tax-efficient way. So the majority of these projects, including the $4.6 million worth of improvements that were done at Ebenezer Park, were paid for with HTAX funding.
Right.
The 1,900 acres was paid for with HTAX funding. So finding smart ways to fund these projects, and also finding better ways to organize our staff so that we can provide the best service to them, are things that I think this council is definitely taking a look at. I think what you'll see on the horizon as well, and what the council has planned and budgeted for in their capital plan, is design and improvements for those other parks, including Worth Mountain, Nanny's Mountain, and the Veterans Park. They're going to have enhancements there as well.
Right.
So, Planning.
Planning. And speaking of planning, one of the things that it's interesting to watch how it's changing is the whole concept of rural fire departments, volunteer fire departments. How, you know, they're challenged, every one of the departments is challenged with just keeping up with, can we get enough volunteers to man the departments? And I know there's been a recent shift in some of these departments to allocate some dollars to actually have paid fire people there to man a house, you know, so a call comes in, somebody can get there. Where do you see this all going?
I think what the council has recognized, and if there's one area where the council has increased it, there's a 0.6 mil, which is a few dollars, to the unincorporated areas to address the lack of ability to provide the services for the fire department. So that will actually hire five new individuals, fire departments. What kudos to these folks. The volunteer fire departments are still working very hard to keep their volunteers up to speed, but they need some help, and I think that's what this will do, is help provide some coverage for the county in areas where it's difficult to get help there. Not only are they doing fire services work, but they're doing emergency services, and oftentimes are the first responders that show up at these, and we definitely need to make sure that we have those folks available.
Can you imagine what it would be like if we didn't have the rural fire departments, and the county had to provide that service, pay for everything?
Not only would it be a public health and safety concern, but our insurance rates would just be skyrocketed. I mean, one of the values they bring is for homeownership insurance rates.
So here we are. We only have a couple minutes left in the show. We're right into the middle of 2021. We seem to be rebounding at a pretty strong rate, although, as you point out, your county didn't suffer as badly as other parts of the country, for sure. What do you see as the main focus for the rest of this year as far as the county is concerned and where we should be going?
I think we have to focus on economic development, growth management, and quality of life. Those are the three key areas that our council has decided are important to our community. And there are that you break that down into a lot of different areas, which include the things that we've talked about before that we're working on, our parks department. We're talking about looking at our economic development and ways to do that better. We're looking at our RECODE and making us updated so that folks with new uses who want to come to the county, that they have a place to be here too. And all of those things are critically important to us growing.
Well, I tell you, the growth management, you know, if you had a billion extra dollars, you could control growth management because you could own all the property that was out there. But that's not the case. You know, the best you can do is with the zoning codes that you have, but then you've got to be, you know, if somebody has a nice large tract of land and they want to turn it into housing, that's a tough thing. I mean, it's a tough thing to do if they already have it zoned to allow that, because you can't change their zoning without paying them for that.
That's right. Private property rights.
Private property rights. Well, Council Chair, we've run out of time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's been great.
Appreciate the work that you all are doing. And I tell you what, if you think this is a part-time job, then I've got some swampland for you down in Florida, because it's not just one council meeting every other week. There's a lot more to it. And I thank you for what you're doing, Christy, and thanks to all the council members and the council staff, because you've got a good group of people up there doing a good job.
We do. Thank you, Manning.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula, pretty simple for most people who've lived here for a long time, but for those of you who are new, we're going to let you hear about it one more time. At the count of three, one, two, three, slice, 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 garden, 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 garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.